Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 17. In the first half of this chapter, Jeremiah continues to proclaim why God must judge the people of Judah. And in the second half of the chapter, we have the record of a sermon that Jeremiah gave at the gates of Jerusalem concerning the sin of breaking the Sabbath. Let's begin by reading the first four verses. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of your altars. Even their children remember their altars and their wooden images or Asherah poles by the green trees on the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give as plunder your wealth, all your treasures and your high places of sin within all your borders. And I will cause you to serve your enemies in the land which you do not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. Let's begin our study of this chapter, Jeremiah chapter 17, with some background notes. In Jeremiah chapter 16, we saw that the Lord placed three restrictions on Jeremiah as signs to the nation of Judah. First, Jeremiah was not to marry or have a family. Second, Jeremiah was not to mourn the dead or go to funerals. And third, Jeremiah was not to attend parties or festive occasions. The point of these restrictions was to visibly communicate to Judah the way it would be in the near future when the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar would overrun and conquer Jerusalem. All family life would be disrupted. There would be so many people killed that there would be no time for mourning or burying the dead. And festive get-togethers or dinner parties would be out of the question. All of these conditions would be the consequence of Judah's continuing sins of idolatry and rebellion and disobedience. Now here in chapter 17, the theme of Judah's guilt continues. We see in verse 1 that instead of having God's law inscribed on their hearts, they had sin inscribed on their hearts of stone. And instead of putting the blood of the required sacrifices on the horns of the brazen altar at the temple, they were using their pagan altars on the high places for sacrifice. They loved their idols as much as they loved their children, who were also involved in idolatry. Verse 2. The Asherim were female deities set up under the trees of the high places. Jerusalem, the mountain of God, and the wealth of the nation, including the land itself, would be given over to their enemies as they themselves would become captives in Babylon. Verses 3 and 4. In verses 5 through 8, Jeremiah puts together some proverbs which contrast the sin and futility of trusting man with the benefits and blessings of trusting God. Verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Verses 7 and 8 sound a lot like Psalm 1, don't they? And they convey the same contrast, trust in sinful man versus trust in the sovereign Lord. The nation of Judah was prone to trust in Egypt for help against the threat of Babylon rather than turning from their sin to trust the Lord. No wonder they were like a dried up desert bush in a land of salt, instead of like a fruitful tree by streams of water. Let's move on to our doctrinal points. So doctrinal or teaching point number one, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, this doctrinal point comes right from verse 9. Let's read verses 9 through 11. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets riches but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. Verse 9 is one of the most well-known verses in Jeremiah, as well as in all of the Bible. Verse 9, once again, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, you will notice that other translations of verse 9 have desperately sick or beyond cure. The point is that the human race is fallen, and we have a sinful nature that is capable of any sin. We are sick with an incurable disease called sin. The heart here, of course, stands for the source of our thinking and acting, both conscious and unconscious. The heart is incredibly deceptive. Or hadn't you noticed? We believe what we want to believe. We have hidden agendas. We wear all kinds of masks. Who can understand it? Verse 9. Only the Lord can. Verse 10. And only in Christ is the heart made well and capable of doing what is right. The Lord knows how to give each person what he or she deserves. Verse 10. And he knows how to make ill-gotten gain fly away like a bird that doesn't belong. Verse 11. In verses 12 and 13, Jeremiah continues his contrast between those who look to the Lord on his glorious throne and worship at his temple in Jerusalem and those who will be put to shame because they turned away from the fountain of living waters. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. In verses 14 through 18, Jeremiah looked to the Lord alone as his Savior and healer, verse 14, and vindicator, verses 15 and 16, and comforter, verse 17, and refuge, verse 17, and avenger, verse 18. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hurried away from being a shepherd who follows you, nor have I desired the woeful day. You know what came out of my lips. It was right there before you. Do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. Let them be ashamed who persecuted me, but do not let me be put to shame. Let them be dismayed. But do not let me be dismayed. Bring on them the day of doom and destroy them with double destruction. Did you see the five different descriptions of the Lord in these verses? Healer, verse 14. Vindicator, verses 15 and 16. Comforter, verse 17. Refuge, verse 17. And avenger, verse 18. Now let me ask you. Are you looking to the Lord alone, as Jeremiah did? If not, you are vulnerable to disaster, because the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Doctrinal point number two. The heart is covetous and extremely selfish. The heart is covetous and extremely selfish. Verses 19 through 27. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, by which the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah, and from the places around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, and from the lowland, and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Here in chapter 17, we have the gate sermon. We see in verses 19 and 20 that Jeremiah was directed by the Lord to go and preach in all the gates of the walled city of Jerusalem, and especially in the gate that the kings used to go in and out of the city. This would be like preaching a scathing sermon on the Capitol steps in Washington, D.C., and denouncing everyone from the president on down. Now, suppose the Lord asked us to do that. Would we do it? The content of Jeremiah's sermon concerned not hallowing the Sabbath day and thus breaking God's law. The people were commercializing the Sabbath and working on the Sabbath day by carrying loads of material and products in and out of the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath, just as they did on every other day. Now, why would they do this? Why not take a break and rest on the Sabbath day as the law commanded? And why not honor the Lord and worship Him on this special day? Answer, because the people were materialistic and covetous and did not want to lose out on using the Sabbath as another opportunity for making more money. Sound familiar? Rather than honor God, they were more interested in turning a profit. This was an extremely selfish attitude. In verses 24 through 26, the Lord said that if the nation would change her ways and keep the Sabbath holy, He would again bless the nation. Now, this exhortation to keep the Sabbath, by the way, was addressed to ancient Israel, not to the church today. There is no command in the New Testament addressed to the church to keep the Sabbath. The church is free from the ceremonial laws of the Mosaic Covenant. And Sunday is not the new Sabbath. However, how we treat the Lord's Day may be an indication of whether we honor the Lord more than material things and activities of pleasure. Ancient Israel did not change her ways, and many people today refuse to honor the Lord with their time and material things because the heart is covetous and extremely selfish. Practical application from Jeremiah chapter 17. Be like a tree and not like a hanging basket. Be like a tree and not like a hanging basket. Verses 7 and 8 once again. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. You know, we have several trees on our property, and we also have some hanging baskets of flowers. We just returned from being away from home for about 2 weeks. We were not worried about the trees wilting, but the hanging baskets were a different story. Without water every couple of days, the flowers would not only wilt, but die. Now, do you see the illustration? We must have deep roots in the good soil of God's Word in order to bear fruit as a growing tree with green leaves. Don't be like a hanging basket that looks pretty today, but will wilt tomorrow if not specially cared for. A basket case in more ways than one. Be like a tree and not like a hanging basket.